everyone.
So my mom would just do something.
Yeah, maybe we should.
I'm Julia, don't be moving.
Pick it up.
Lance.
Yep.
I'm Vanessa. I work at the physics room.
I'm Rod. I'm a guide at the art gallery.
Oh, really? I'm Sophie, and I also work at the physics room.
I'm Peter. I'm a guitarist in Pupil Mountain Eagle.
And?
I work at the art gallery.
The art gallery.
An art gallery.
Okay.
I'm
Anita,
and I'm interning at the physics room from Wellington.
I'm Linda, I'm a painter.
I'm Kate from the physics room.
I'm Julie, and I'm an art
historian. And I'm Pip, and I'm a primary school teacher and a lover of art.
I'm Lance, and I'm a painter.
Cool. I guess the kind of catalyst for this evening was knowing that we wouldn't quite have the opportunity of Georgie having an artist talk during the course of the show, because of her busy schedule, but also because she lives in Dunedin. So I guess we were talking about what would be maybe interesting for her to have happen as some form of artist talk or a consideration of her work. And what we ended up with was just for her, she'd love to hear a little bit more about people's take on her practice. And also, I guess, for the physics room and for us, it was a good opportunity to invite some people.
Hi, Ari, how are you?
To come along and do the same. So I guess in as much as it's, an informal setting, we have got a few sort of questions that we thought we'd kind of put to everyone, and Sophie's had a bit of a think about that, just as a catalyst for, I guess, a discussion that can just evolve as we go. So, yeah, take it away.
Oh, I guess, well, they're wonderful works, so I think they're amazing to be able to discuss a little bit about them. And it's excellent that we've got a couple of people who are particularly knowledgeable about painting as a painter and an art historian who's kind of familiar with female artists and things like that. So I was kind of wanting to, thought we could start off with looking at how they're kind of intimate rooms and whether these like little architectural spaces kind of are part of something bigger. Do you think that they're sort of personal, like they kind of look like sets, but I'm wondering whether they kind of contribute together to make a greater whole of personal spaces.
They look like?
They kind of look like sets, because they're only like three walls.
Right.
So like a kind of a set for a film, sort of something that something
a
would play out.
Yes,
within,
and particularly that one.
Mm.
It's actually quite theatrical. So
it is.
A horseshoe wreath.
Looks like a stage.
Mm.
Doesn't it, when you look through?
I think also the fact that so many of the surfaces of the architecture look like they could be sort of landscapes in and of themselves.
Mm.
The horseshoe wreath work, I think, is particularly kind of...
Yes.
It makes sense.
Well, I suppose it's there's a geometry.
Yeah.
Geometry and structure is very much part of it. And whether they're rooms or stage sets, you've got lines of geometry, haven't you, which seem to contain, and yet at the same time, they're open very often at the top of the words. At the same time as that geometry, which is man-made, human-made, structured, you have kind of organic forms. You have water, you've got elements, water, and almost suggestive of natural elements and of life.
So
as well as something lit, the red, which yes, which look organic.
Mm.
So you have those two elements. To me, I hadn't read about what Georgia said, something about private and public space.
Mm.
We walked in here and I saw it something like enclosed and man-made,
a personal
and something
space
organic
here
as well, and natural, of water and like sky, and something growing, or red with blood, something alive in that way.
I actually looked at the thing about the texture of it. It adds a dynamic element to the fixed geometric spaces. It's as if they are opening up, that they're not as constraining as they might seem at first, that they let you go through, and that there is in some way I find them extremely optimistic. I don't know why it is, but it's just calming and optimistic works. And I think it's something to do with that, almost the gentle dynamism that's built into the texture. And then with the, so that the passion, the red parts, the red elements, are sneaking out. And I love the way the passion seems to leak into, as you see the reds that's leaking into other parts of the structure, reaching through. So.
Yeah, she's done an amazing balance of kind of keeping it kind of restricted, but also being allowing it to go free as well, which I think is really important. Mm. Having all the little windows to be able to look through and
something that
so it goes further.
There's something. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Opens out.
Just extension, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, which I guess goes back to that question you sort of started with. You know, what's beyond some of these surfaces? Because so often, you know, as we've been talking about, they are kind of clouded but still have that possibility to think beyond or kind of see into a bit further.
Mm.
Yeah. It's funny that you were talking about optimism because I find them really unsettling.
Yes,
I
think
they're really blood, yeah.
Mm.
Kind of.
Might be a contrast to something.
So why do you find them unsettling?
I think they provoke me to consider them more closely. And that's really nice in any work, but I think they do require some patient consideration. You know, there's a lot of detail, there's a lot of those kinds of things that you begin to see if you're looking at the works for long enough.
Mm-hmm.
Many of those kind of clouded surfaces are quite carefully mirrored, and so Georgie kind of uses the material to just sort of stretch things out, but yeah, double things, which I guess, yeah, gets to those kind of psychological, I guess, blotch print kind of area of things as well.
And the plants, there seem to be the suggestion of things that are growing, and yet they're red.
Is it blue or what?
They're stunted though.
Yeah, they're stunted.
This one especially seems stunted.
Has she said to you what the meaning of them is?
And
yeah, because I think I read that one as being an orchid that just has grown these weird mutated bud forms, which orchids don't grow because they just flower. Well, they do, but the buds are never that big and extended up the top like that.
Yes, it's sort of, I found there's plant forms which occur that are. Growth seems to be. I don't know if it's been stopped or it's beginning or it will come. And it's
but it's red. So
yes, it's red. I mean, it's not green.
Yeah.
It's opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of the idea of like a surgical room or spring salon when I first saw them.
Yes.
Yeah, some kind of, I don't know,
experimental. Is it something to do with the sterility or the...
The sterility and the, looking like sort of blood vessels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think how they pulse thing with
it. So we thought that was really gynecological.
Yeah, that's right. So that
one.
Yeah.
It's
today,
it's
of the body. It's all sort of mining a kind of surrealist sort of space, so psychological space.
I think
it's,
they could kind of, the plants could operate like arteries rather than branches and stems if they're red.
That's right.
Chopped up ones.
The like shoots.
Yeah.
So
they don't
it's
seem
like
deep.
Arteries.
They seem deep to you. They don't seem deep to me.
They don't seem deep to me because
they're
upright, but they seem deep to me because they're not completely formed in my mind, because that's not what that plant that I think it is looks like.
But some of the plants don't have like roots or anything. Like these ones, they almost kind of springs out in the middle. Looks like a hand almost.
I
don't
like it.
Yeah. I was talking with someone the other day, and we came up with the idea that they might be some kind of, you know, sort of coral formation.
Mm.
And coral became kind of an interesting way of me thinking through the work that day. Because I guess coral is one of those strange things where it's inanimate, but it's
living.
Yeah. And it's a rock, but it's kind of an animal, and it, like, what is it? And it lives in the ocean, and it's kind of this unknown. But very important kind of building block in something larger. Yeah.
So the red, the scarlet red, it's talk is about life forms, organic life forms, whereas the other parts, elements, although I see them moving, they're about the natural formations, the stone, rock, landscape type formation, as opposed to the inner life forms. Mm.
There seemed to be suggestion of sky.
Yeah.
Seemed to be suggestion of flow of water in something. Mm. These elements.
But there seems to be a suggestion that there's no
top
as well. That it's just like a white well. Because that's the only one with something in it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that third dimension is missing. It's like the sixth dimension. It's like whatever.
It's on the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nothing, it's not...
So that reads water to me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like a flood?
I think it's helped along by the watercolour technique as well. She's kind of done.
And I think what's extraordinary is really how minimal it is, how it operates, really, how much it suggests with such a limited kind of vocabulary that is used in multiple ways. And that's another of its strengths, I think.
And it's true.
Pardon?
It's really true.
Mm.
Multiple.
Yes.
It communicates.
Which is exciting about it, isn't it?
It sort of hints at different types of things, and whether what context you're sort of viewing it from, it will come alive from different perspectives. That's, yeah. Is that what you're sort of...
It's an, I was also saying it really operates... There is not a lot of variety. Well, no, that's not. That's what you meant. That's contradictory. There is. It has multiple meanings, but actually, it has. What does it use? Straight lines, a kind of containing, so a container or a stage. So it has a it's limited in its forms, but how many different pictures she's made. Which open up so many different meanings while she's using how much colour is there? Not much. Is there grey? How many different forms are there? Not many.
Mm.
It's a, but she has...
In each of the works, it's the same colour.
Yes, it is. Exactly. It's economical in terms of the vocabulary that
variable,
she's using.
Lots of variety.
But she can bring... she can use those...
Yeah.
She can express many meanings.
Endless possibilities.
Yes. Do you have I expect it?
I guess I was wondering whether that might also kind of take us back to that idea of sort of a platform or a, like a theatre. Because, you know, like a theatre is essentially just the same room, same set of chairs, different sets, different narratives.
Yes, that is a nice idea, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
As a set where... comparable to a theatre where you have you place scenes.
I'm wondering whether she chose the colours specifically because they can be interpreted in like so many different ways. Like blood can be signal death and life, and then blue and be water and sky.
Yes, that's nice.
Yeah.
So what about the negative spaces? Because they're very deliberately placed. I know we talked about this. Being open and top.
Are you talking about that being a negative space?
The negative, yes, the unpainted sections.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't tell whether it's like a window. That blue one looks like a window in that one, but then there's a white section on there. And
just a small white section.
Yeah. Just open, communicating.
But it seems to be an element in all.
But yeah, there's a section out of the bottom of that one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's a section out of the middle. So there
seems
to be one section removed. Apart from this,
The one down the end's got that, use the pink, the red differently as the wash.
Yeah, that's right.
It doesn't have that coverage on the floor that.
And it's not always.
And it hasn't got much blue in it either.
Decorate. The pattern that's in the red.
That one seems quite different to these.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if it's because it's down the end away from them that I think that. But then it's maybe been placed there for a reason?
Because of the lack of the different colours restrictions? Or?
Oh, it just seems... Well, I mean, there's a focal point at the end of it, you know, that draws you down there like all of these ones do, but other than that, it just seems quite different.
Well, suit of it, which is, as against the end of it, this is suit, which is more of a tighter strange.
One of the things I was particularly interested in with having Julie and Brenda here was the whole how Georgie kind of sits in within the like female artists that are from New Zealand. Because they're quite unusual works. Like I can't say that I've ever really encountered paintings like this before. Mm. I was just wondering what you both thought about how it sat with her peers or other painters.
Well, it does seem to me that she... it does seem to be a bit of a thing happening now with young painters where they're starting to use this kind of technique, watercolour technique, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah, we were laughing earlier today. Jamie Richardson, who's our technician, has just done really beautiful watercolour works that are on show across Manukau. Mm. And we were trying to get him along, you know, as, you know, like a young artist who's using a medium that's got, you know, a certain kind of history and tradition and use behind it, but is, you know, breaking that mould in his own kind of way.
There's no question that watercolour is...
Do you think it's a fashion, like that kind of fashion that happened about... I don't know, 5 years ago when everyone decided that painting on MDF was cooler than painting on stretched canvas, you know. Mm-hmm. So they'd all order MDF boards and then maybe that's kind of gone away and now paper's easier. But why does that
particle?
I don't know if it's a fashion. I think what happens is it starts to happen and then people see its potential and mm-hmm. wants to try it, so it just becomes
a particle. But watercolour's quite difficult because it's not just like, you know, you've got to really...
Artists are pretty generally kind of brave that way, aren't they? So they're willing to try. I mean, this is...
takes great skill.
Yeah, yes, it does. And control. It's virtuoso.
Yeah.
With the, we're saying, when you look, you can find her signature. She's put her signature, isn't she?
In
the minutest...
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes. It's in that. It's in that. It's in the red.
Extras.
And it's in that one, too. She's signed
by... You can't see
that. That's right, but isn't that also a delight in her skill?
Mm. Even
and leaving her name there in that in that sort of disguised way. It's so skillful, isn't it?
The way she's used the, even the bits where it appears that she hasn't got the control, takes enormous control as well. So.
Mm.
And you wonder how she's dealt with the edges and colour and everything.
Yeah, how she's masked off like the... those two? I wonder whether she must have used tape or something. She must have.
Not necessarily.
Not if you do it in stages. Yeah. But that's the trickery of the medium,
yeah.
I think, that no one really has the patience for sometimes. Maybe apart from Brenda and Georgia.
The patience is... obviously, she's just got fantastic concentration.
Lots of time. Like a surgeon.
It is.
It's
precision. It's sharp.
Slices of... I'd noticed there was looks like slices, cross sections laid out to observe, or and there's sort of like something growing there, or maybe it's not, it's pulled out, or but it's just what I think anyway. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But it's like the technique seems to go into ideas of it. So
does
yeah.
And I was just saying it relates to also that tradition of watercolour. How watercolour was first used in Zen.
Oh,
I don't want to kill that
tree,
but just hope it can't help it. That's the colour of my life. And it relates to that topography, you know, where watercolour was used well, before the age of photography, when people went on journeys and they made a record of what they saw, and it was the medium that they used to, with the pencil and the wash. To record what they saw. And in New Zealand, they used watercolour in that way, of sharpness and clarity.
And Georgie's taken that care, isn't she?
Yes, she has.
Yeah.
She's working in that.
Yeah.
She's working in that way, isn't she?
Yeah.
That because watercolour, you can work like Spencer Barr.
Yeah,
we can work like those little ones of Angus, of Otago. Are like this, one of sharpness and of absolute control.
Yeah, I think it's really nice to hear that power, because although you can sense elements of landscape in these works, we can read things that could echo oceans, we can see things that could be clouds or hills, that sense of recording something, a journey,
that's right.
Works very well with these, because, you know, personal spaces And the things that you choose to keep around you are those kind of markers and those memorials, and I guess.
Yeah. Mm. I feel like the names are definitely
It's like, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But so like they use that to this medium to go and make records when they went to Greece or to Asia Minor, as they called it, and, or to on the grand tour to Italy. They would make the building a record. It was the medium of documenting your journey, travel.
Architects tend to work in that way.
And architects do, that's right. Yes, they do in a building.
Yes,
that's
right.
Miles Warren,
and we've got some architectural sort of studies, and they're just exquisite.
They did.
And they get loose a wee bit sometimes, though, in that kind of really controlled way, but mostly just. So they have that juxtaposition of this, for example, an architect in a drawing would definitely describe sky, but where they needed to describe something really carefully, very carefully.
So do you see the pencil being laid first? I imagine it going on after, certainly the detailed, intricate work I saw growing, in fact I can see it growing now, it's growing in front of me. Would it have been done first, before the...
Well, these were carefully planned.
Yes, I mean, it would have taken ages, layering of the different
greens and blues. Well, my guess is the areas of, the kind of decorative areas within the red, just a guess, that she probably lets herself evolve, maybe. What do you think?
Mm. Has she got that architectural background? I don't know anything about it.
I don't know either.
It's fine,
she's
a costume designer,
that. Ah, does she have done?
And has she spoken to anybody about the meanings of these? Or does anybody know? Or are you just testing us?
Because I was...
Did you do the homework?
I was wondering, because I didn't get to talk to Georgie much when she was here, but I always look at them and go, oh, where is that? Especially this one, because I'm trying to work out where that L-shaped counter is. But then is it a real... And then I didn't want to ask if it was real because I kind of don't want it to be real, but then I keep going, what shop is that or what, you know, where has she found that that she's then derived from? But do you know that? Did you ever ask her if they were real environments that she's manipulated or if they were completely imaginary?
No, to be honest, I didn't.
Because I want to know, and I don't, when I know, I don't want to know about it anymore. I'd rather go back to wondering still, but I still want to know.
Yeah. No, it's a question.
Because they must have come from somewhere that she's experienced a space and maybe felt a certain way in that space as well.
Could be a dream, might not be the outside world, I guess.
Because it's more surreal. And I've bought another book. it has that kind of surreal, doesn't
Absolutely.
It? And I was just looking at the man called Paul Nash in the 1930s, who made these kind of surreal watercolours as well.
We're hanging her work alongside prisons, you know, the prisons, which are surreal as well.
You're hanging this work with it?
Well, no, another work we've purchased.
Georgie's?
Yeah.
Georgie's.
So it's kind of in the new hands, alongside Piranesi and Redon.
Build it,
sort of,
a good juxtaposition.
Yeah.
Is that
to me, they're very surreal.
They are.
And in terms of the woman's thing, I certainly think of Frida Kahlo when I look at the use of the plants and the beautiful thing. It seems like they could be twine coming around a figure. And she does do the one on Ivan twice, or a couple of them made. The statue of Victoria.
A statue.
She did one, a Victoria statue in Victoria Square. It's done in colour. But
where did you get those?
Just off the Anthony's website.
We can buy them.
Yeah, you can buy one.
You can pass, I must try and pass the website again. Because I've got Yvonne Tor.
Well, sometimes Ivan's website is a bit funny, and sometimes it doesn't really work very well. Yeah.
Well,
it's
wrong.
Oh, yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
You've got to persevere with it.
Because I think that's a very interesting thing, that Queen Victoria, you know, when you think about what those monuments were, essentially kind of, maybe not a jubilee, but, you know, a kind of cast that ended up in quite a few different places around the Commonwealth, for example. You know, like it's a marker that, in its particular place, has a certain kind of history to the people that walk past it every day, but, you know, then there's a greater collective sense of how to read that sign as a certain kind of symbol standing in for a certain kind of thing. And I like that, you know, Georgie was able to spend the time that she spent in Christchurch, but equally, you know, she could have come across that.
Was in Wellington, wasn't it? The first thing.
And what's the cross? Is there a religious connotation there?
I'm so sorry. It doesn't look too algebraic to me.
No. So is that the background? Well, you don't know anything about
Don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe she went to a Catholic primary school.
But I really like that there is sort of this layering and this building up of a whole lot of...
Oh, that's the detail from that book.
Yeah,
She doesn't deal with the figure there.
That's her closet. But maybe she's a sailor as well.
She's quite minimalistic and symbolic.
It's a bit of a navy.
Yeah.
Compared with the works you've shown us.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, I'm not, I just brought them along.
You can see the similarities. She's,
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's, she's got a, she's developed quite an individual at the moment. She's developed her own way of working, isn't she?
There's a nice combination here too with the wash and everything is delicate. Is that pencil there?
I think she's done that. I wonder if that she's still
doing it.
Yeah.
I mean,
she
I think the dark bits of pencil.
Yeah.
Like
graphic.
Yeah. It's like a really hard. Like, oh, she's got a really good pencil.
And she's not going to share it.
It's possibly mechanical, I would say.
Yeah, don't touch my pencil.
It's like very visceral looking.
But that's part of the sort of jarring, just wantedness. Is the watercolour and the pencil, especially when they meet, you know, lead pencil and watercolour, it's sort of, they hate each other's guts, but they're beautiful together. I think that's why, for me, they're sinister.
And she's certainly using the pencil very differently to how it's normally used in watercolour.
Yes, she has.
Yeah, so it's normally kind of, it's supposed to be invisible, isn't it?
You know, I think she's worked out that Meg gives a certain kind of shroud and a certain kind of focus for the intensity of, you know, placing these kind of objects
in the setting, in the space.
Because, I mean, Georgie did kind of refer to them as keepsakes, which was interesting because, Vanessa, you were mentioning before about the counter as being something that you read as kind of quite a commercial, like I think you said you thought it would be from a shop.
Well, I was trying to work out what shop it was from, knowing where Georgie would want to shop. Yeah. And I was like, but I don't know any of those places.
Yeah. Whereas I saw that as an altar with a candle on it.
Right, yeah.
Having seen that cross, because no crosses in there.
But it's very highbrow though, because you know it's that sort of counter that sits in the middle of a space where you're allowed to wander around it, which not many shops allow you to do, or retail outlets, with one of those, what I thought was an orchid on it, which is kind of, they're expensive, right? And you've got to care for them, and they kind of maybe treat them like you'd treat your watercolour, because you have to tend to them, but not tend to them too much, and because I kill mine.
They seem to reference both Eastern and Western.
Yeah.
With you know, colour and decorative sort of things as
well.
Use of watercolour.
I think they could be like a waiting room or a reception as opposed to a shop. Because there's like the thought of going somewhere beyond is what you sort of do in those spaces, or like waiting for something else that you're about to see or about to...
Like that door's going to open up.
Yeah, and then you go through, because I think that the spaces and like how she's left parts like unfinished sort of suggests that.
Pitt thinks it's an altar.
But what, I mean, what it seems to be along similar lines to my ear anyway. You know, an altar is something that you
to spend
a certain kind of time.
Well, that's what I was saying, that a retail counter that we know now has probably
become an altar.
grew from altars, because what
we
used to go up there to be served or to be given something, right, at an altar, and someone was behind it and they were in a different position to you. It's exactly what a shop counter's like.
Well, shop counters are supposed to be accessible, but I don't see that counter as being accessible. I don't think I want to put my feet on there.
Because of the red? Yeah. You could go around the back, though, and see what's on the register.
Yes, I don't know.
I like to see it as a flat space. It's a flat shape. Mm. You know, it's like a hole that's a recessed or a concave hole in the ground. You all ruined it for me.
Well, that's the right chair behind the table.
You know, it's a hole. And now you've made it.
And then it's definitely sticking out for me.
There's something I really like about the idea when Georgie said, my title for the show is L-shaped counter. I was like, is that from some board game that I'm not aware of? A Scrabble tile, you know? Mm. And I guess there's something really nice about that a counter is always kind of holding the place of something. It's something that you can trade with. You know, you can use a match in a game of poker instead of money.
That's the English English language. That word counter has so many meanings.
Yeah.
It can be a service, yes, or it can be something that you use to count or trade or like a currency.
And you walk around it, don't you? An L shape.
Well, you walk around that one. If it was instead of
barrier.
And it's immediately, you know, it's not the edge. The edge on the L, but the edge on the other side is not.
It's a seeping.
It's seeping from underneath the counter.
Sparkles leaking.
Upstairs.
Does she make. Does she work a lot in watercolour, or has she worked in other mediums?
I think she has earlier, at least in 2001, she was in a different medium. I'm not entirely sure what it was, but these watercolours have been going for at least 3 years. It's been in the same colour palette as well.
Oh.
Yeah, she's stuck with the red and the blue and the grey.
So she's made tremendous variation.
Yeah. But I also wanted to go back to your notion of the whole using watercolour as a use to record memories, because in 2001 she had a show at Enjoy, and it was referencing the position, actually did it with another artist, referencing the idea of women as homemakers. It was definitely quite a, you know, feminist sort of questioning about the role of women and things like that. So I'm wondering whether that's kind of continued on to these kinds of work, whether they've still got this kind of, like, referencing the idea of women cherishing, you know, little keepsakes, and whether these are actually homes rather than somewhere.
I see when I see watercolours, even these ones, I think of where they reference that kind of feminine kind of thing is to do with their simply being a portable, before they're framed and put in the gallery, they're a intimate object where you can keep them secret, that you can keep them out of sight. You don't have to show everyone. So as an artist, you can operate under the radar, if you wish, of the male gaze, perhaps, or the art world. You can just keep everything put away. You only have to get it out if you choose to. So you're not in the studio with all the artworks leant up against the walls, and anyone who comes in, for example, if you get an unexpected visitor in that sort of setting, you might have to turn stuff around if you don't want people to see. But with watercolours, especially in the studio, you just immediately, everything's quite private, you put it away, air it, don't have to get it out.
Yeah.
And I really, whenever I see this sort of work, I get a sense that the artist, in fact, it has kind of desire to have the private practice.
Mm-hmm.
Just feels like it.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's also actually inexpensive, isn't it?
Yes.
Actually. Because to make art, you know, if you're Dane Hurst, there is a kind of, maybe I'm wrong, there is a trend, there is a way. I mean, take modern, was it Anish Kapoor?
Yes.
He filled the whole
turbine.
Yes, with that enormous kind of ear trumpet and so. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there is a kind of way of making art that depends on having assistance and lots of money in your containing room. This is actually something that doesn't need too much money.
But it's not as durable as well. I guess they've got a certain lifespan as well.
But
Matt, you know more about that.
There's something kind of it's not in your face.
But she's
not assault on you.
Mm. She's invested so much time into them. Like,
I know.
More time than someone making an oil painting 50 times the size that just gets a brush and goes, eh, right? So it's like, even though it's poor in material, I guess you could say, it's
inexpensive.
Very, yeah.
Not
but it's,
poor.
Okay,
not,
not,
not poor.
All right. Inexpensive, but like completely, like the amount of time that it would have taken to make these is just put those works up so much than what you'd ever expect. You know, and like whether or not she can bundle them away and tuck them in her satchel and take them with her and work a little bit here and work a little bit there. I'm kind of interested in that, if that's any reason
really
why
she... that culture about the big spending, the big... And so her practice is all about, seems to me like it is all about making the work, you know. And so, while recognition clearly will come, because the work is enough, good enough, you know, to get that attention. Mm. But she's not playing anyone else's game.
No.
So,
no.
But I like
and you can be powerful when you're small, too.
Yeah.
I mean, those Angus watercolours of Otago, Central Otago,
wow.
The 40s, small, but they can be powerful.
Mm.
They're very intimate, as in they're kind of like a mirror size almost. You can feel your face in it. Like, she's had to work so closely to get that detail. She's had to be so close to the work itself as well. She also asks you to come so close to it to view it, because she's got so many delicate details that you can't see from far
it's
away.
It's interesting.
So.
Physically, you relate to it
and
find her signature.
Because
they
have bigger spaces than you normally.
Put
and now they're miniaturised.
In a small room, you know, like, couldn't have put it out there probably really as easily. Do you know what I mean? And so this reference is a domestic space, this room, and the work kind of fits, is a good fit for that, isn't it?
I can sort of see them as models of a gallery. They're quite weird, they're kind of like this room.
Yes.
And so maybe she was aware of that when she did them.
That's a nice idea, isn't it?
Does anybody
know
her lifestyle?
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. Like, I know that, like, well, just from knowing Georgie and Eddie, that they're kind of not very aware of where they're going to be year after year because of residencies and opportunities that have, you know, kind of come Eddie's way. And so in a way that this can easily be packed up, and then if she does get another studio, that's great. But if she doesn't, she could still work on the coffee table, maybe?
Yeah. Maybe
the light's not as good, I don't know. Like, that's a thing, so that at least she's working in a medium that's not going to suffer from her lifestyle.
It seems like she might have a transient lifestyle.
Not so much transient like, you know, a rolling gypsy or anything. But transient in that after 1 year, they need to pack and move, unless they want to stay where they're...
And that's a bit like these works, like, for the people travelling, they need some of this portable, and it's got to dry quick, and you can't pump the canvas around in the outdoors so easily.
You also can't master this medium unless you stick at it. So
she's
kind of committed really at this point.
But that makes me think of a kind of hobby aspect of it as well. And not, you know, I know there's a real, like, there's a real tension between hobby and art, right? But I kind of think about it in terms of that to master it, it's something that you do, that you kind of enjoy doing as a hobby, and then it becomes something that you never expect it to become, but then it becomes an art.
It's almost like a mysterious obsession to get this detail.
Well, it's all from eye level, right? Or a little bit higher than eye level.
But that's what.
But then that might be
a saying, it's like there's a flat space to it too, isn't there? There's an flat space, yeah. And I mean, I wrote something about that. I think that initially, especially when you say on the invitation, where a bit of it's cropped, I mean, like you, I looked at it and thought L-shaped counter. That must mean something.
But we read into things way too much, right?
Like, well, that, you know, I mean, even all the things we sang here, George, you might think, well, you know. Makes you feel more inquisitive the longer you look at it. So that's one of its strengths, is that the more one looks, the more one likes, and so that's a good thing, isn't it?
I think it's really interesting too to hear the conversation kind of evolve around issues of kind of perseverance and kind of solitude and time spent on that side producing it. That equally, you know, on the other side, when you're all coming to the work, if you take the time and you spend a bit of time looking at it, you can keep finding things in it. It's really lovely to see that reflected on both sides of that process. And I guess that's not always something that artists get to stand around and have, you know, an understanding of how people come to work. So yeah, although it would have been great to have, you know, Georgie here to sort of, you know, answer some of these questions about crosses and the like, equally I think that it'll be really interesting for you to hear, you know, just some reflections.
We should have been allowed to hold one in our hand while we chatted.
You want to hold one?
That's what they used to have.
Isn't it? With watercolours, they used to have a portfolio if you were rich and you could pay for watercolours to come to Italy and do your drawings of buildings for you. You would then have a portfolio in your country house that you would bring out and show. Yes, you would keep your watercolours in a drawer or portfolio.
But that's about the touching paper, touching wood type thing, right? That, you know, you give people an object. Like, if you give anyone something wood, the first thing they do is they go like that, no matter what, because there's this weird thing in your brain that makes you want to feel how smooth the wood is, and it's the same with paper, and it's wanting that tactile relationship with it that you're not allowed with these because they're behind glass. Do you want to hug it? Is that why?
Just that idea that, in a sense, that when you hold them, you can read them. You can more than just look at them. You can read
that's
them.
A really good point.
So if you hold
like
them,
a book, right.
So imagine if you could, for example, have six of them.
Yeah, like that. Yeah.
I like that about them. And you could only get that with works on paper, can't you?
Beautifully framed. Beautifully mounted.
Yes.
Lovely mounts.
But that's quite a decision of Georgie's. Like, they were all, you know, she sent them away to be documented before they were framed, and then framed, and then sent here. So it's kind of this, that's part of the work, and the process that the work has to take before it's allowed in the gallery. So I don't think, I'd say that she would never let these be shown without being framed.
Which ends all part of
the And they wouldn't exist on the wall just as paper.
Okay. Although they'd be lovely if they
were. They would, I agree. But she probably won't let that. Oh, yeah. She might. Georgie?
I guess the frame can kind of act as a sort of the other wall of the kind of open space as well. Like, it does kind of contain them, kind of protective almost.
Kind of fourth wall.
Kind of thing. I was also interested, because you were saying about, like, the whole idea of her having a kind of transient, well, not transient, but ever-changing...
Well, just
location.
Not put in. Like,
yeah, not,
in 3 years, I've lived in 3 different cities in New Zealand, right? So.
And this whole idea of people, like, painting things to hold things in memory, and also holding keepsakes to remember memory. Like, it's almost as if she's kind of painting something to stop, like, hold a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure when she looks at it, she thinks, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot more personal she can think of that time where she was in a different place.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of isolation and chaos, I think they got strong. Just the patterns, whether they're water or they have similar type of kind of resonance. And then there's a real order there, and then these little isolated bits. Yeah, if I was thinking about it more, if I spent more time with it, I'd probably, like, it took me an hour to think of that, but yeah. And that one was like lips, or is it like a bit of leaf? But, so that idea of a counter, like a cosmetic, go into a gallery and, yeah, it's quite open, really. Yeah.
Very clever, just the way that the more expressive use of paint in the grey and the blue disrupts the really careful use of it in the red. It just, you know, it's so controlled and you're trying to trick us into thinking it might not be. There's no excellence in this work.
So, as a technical effort, would that have to be done in layers?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, it just seems to be take a long
time. My guess is it's not masked for some reason, because my masking's tricky.
Yeah. I was thinking just in the blue and the grey of the walls, just to get in that texture there. Put down a layer and then dry it, and then another layer, that sort of thing.
Yes. But she doesn't use... paints all monochrome.
Yeah, so she's using density different.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if she masked anything apart from the lines, the straight lines, because the rest of them are so irregular that you couldn't mask that without it looking regular.
You can sign your name like that.
She doesn't have shacks.
No. You can just show your name.
Yeah.
Any kind of masking would be just clumsy.
Could I ask a question? Maybe it might, I don't know, there'll be many people here who might answer it for me. In terms of, you know, as an archival trace or something, you know, how do watercolours need to be treated to retain vibrancy, to retain, you know, the kind of effect that we're having and responding to here, you know, in 50 years' time, in 120 years' time, you know, like, the new, what that means.
No sunlight.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
so true, that's not
true. It is true.
No, it's not. The newest watercolours are completely light resistant.
Yeah. Well, it breaks my heart when you look at the Stoddart watercolour back at our harbour. There was up at the McDougall getting diffused light on it for 40 years, and you just can't show it now, because you take the mat off it and you can see where it hasn't, light hasn't struck.
But the new watercolours, the art supply people swear that it's...
So that's technology.
The guys behind the counter say it's okay.
I'm shaking.
You know,
brushing
powder,
he
really cares, and he swears that stuff's okay.
What about the underlying paper?
Well, it depends what paper she's used, but, you know...
We pull the curtain down in the morning. Don't direct someone.
I mean, would you show them in these conditions?
No, not at the gallery. No. Unless it was sort of an artist's installation.
But even...
specified that, but any historical works, there's no way.
But there's not even glass yet that can... I mean, there's glass that can diffuse reflection and all that, but there's some glass, but it still doesn't completely bounce back.
UV glass, museum glass, it cuts back reflection and cuts out about 90% UV.
Yeah, but still not 100%.
But this is because you measure light, it's getting more technical, but you measure light by lux, and we show our watercolours at 50 lux, and direct sunlight, I think, is 25,000. So that gives you an idea. Some of the Rita Randis works, too, the Mount Maud work, it's quite sad when you...
So Georgie asked...
Not a lot, but some of the colours.
Georgie asked to lower the blind.
Oh, so she's worried about
it. In the morning sun, because we get really direct morning sun here, to look out. 10:30 or 11 a.m.
And are they are watercolour?
Mm-hmm.
Not ink or anything.
Mm-hmm. But they do seem almost ink like in the grey bits.
I suppose you rest them, don't you?
We do rest them. Yeah.
Mr. Mean.
Yeah, if it's up for a year, then it gets rested for 3 years.
Rest it. And then it comes out again and it's fresh.
It's
well.
Frustrating.
It is frustrating. You can't get it out.
But people can ask.
Yeah, well, why?
That all feeds into that whole thing of just, you don't have to have art out all the time.
No, you don't need to, because you can see it and meet your friend again later.
Yeah.
Go away for a year, come back.
And if you really want to see it,
it's all about art. Have you any lots of.
Yeah. It's always available. Hey, the old,
yes.
The old Works on Paper store. You don't want to see anything in the gallery. They just have to bring us.
So when you put them in a Works on Paper store, do you leave them framed?
No.
You take them out of their frames and you put them in the drawers.
Yeah. Unless they've got a special frame. Right?
There's room to collect these.
That's
great
right.
Numbers. It's not like it's making a big installation.
Actually, the Works on Paper store is the one store that's not overflowing.
Because you can just stack them.
there's a lot of room. But we have recently purchased one at Georgie's and it's going up in the new hang in November.
Did you get it from the Cloud 9 exhibition, or is it another one?
Yeah, it's from the Cloud 9 show. Yeah. Mm.
Oh,
this
is
their studio.
It's the one in the
What's that?
Is it the one in the show?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's two in the show, right?
Which
one?
Hang on.
I have to double check.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
But, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Because they're very mysterious to me, and I think that's why I was hanging alongside of Piranesi and an interior by Redon. I don't know if you guys are familiar with their work, but there's an architectural element there and very dreamlike.
Butting in, but it's something you said to me earlier. You remember the Doris Lusk?
The arcade.
The arcades, do you know those?
Yeah.
She did a series of arcades. Which are just based on the arcades at San Marco. You know, there's... And they really have that architectural motif.
Mm-hmm.
And that surreal... They're wrapped with the curtain that hangs down with them. You know, so the arcade's near a cafe in San Marco.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, every so often, the curtain... sort of conceals or reveals, doesn't it?
Yeah,
and it
has
that same sort of play with that same intimacy,
and
that suggestive, that kind of surreal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm, getting better.
Mm. Oh well, we'll have to keep Georgie up in the grand reveal. Put a pat on back.
I visited his studio, so I was quite lucky I actually got to flick through the works.
In the portfolio.
And it was a real treat.
Was that in Christchurch or Dunedin?
She had a studio on Madras Street just above NG Gallery.
Somebody said, when I was talking to Chin, she said, is that the Georgie Works?
Yes, she did.
She doesn't work there any longer.
No, because she lives in another city now. See, she moves faster.
Anyone
else have any other questions?
No? I was going to say.
You can talk to Georgie. The physics room is a not-for-profit gallery. We don't sell the world. We can put you in touch with it. She has a demo in Auckland as well. I don't have any.
Do you have a demo here?
Mm-hmm.
No, not
at the moment, or not yet.
Mm-hmm.
So her dealer is in Auckland.
She's from Auckland originally.
She's
only been here, she's only been out of
Auckland
for 2 years now.
That works out for a good
deal. Yeah.
A whole range of remarks.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much for coming, I think. That was really lovely, I think. It's one of those things.
things where when you have an artist in town for a certain amount of time, you can only kind of rinse them out of. You know? Give me some words, what do you got? And it's lovely to hear some from the other side of things too. So yeah, it was really wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
You want some more cards, you know? Not a drink? Yeah.